Welcome to RP Gamer's very first head-to-head podcast featuring myself. My name is Ethan Pfeiffer. You may remember me from such podcasts as RPG Cast. You may remember me from the IRC and from the forums as Ethos. I have with me a very, very, very special guest, Mr. Seventh Circle, Glenn Wilson.
Yo, this is Glenn Wilson. I'm a reviewer of RP Gamer. You may know me from giving Final Fantasy IVDS a meager 3.5 and giving Baroque for the Wii a 4.0
and
other famous reviews.
such controversy already on our very first head-to-head here. Okay, so today we're going to talk about Etrian Odyssey 2. Or how do you say it, Glenn?
You work. You go first. I'll pronounce it the way you pronounce it. Etrian works for me.
All right, so we're not going to have the head-to-head on the pronunciation of the name.
Nah.
That's okay with me. So we decided to duke it out about this game, even though we basically agree on it. Let's get right into it.
We not only gave it the same overall score, we gave it practically the same score breakdown, too.
Exactly.
Only you thought that you could complete it in 40 to 60 hours, whereas I'm much worse at the game, and I don't know, it seemed like it took me over 100 hours to beat the damn thing.
Well, I wasn't clocking it exactly, here's the big secret, and it doesn't have an in-game clock, which is annoying. But I didn't think it took me that long. I wasn't playing it non-stop, and I beat it in a few weeks, so
my estimates, I can play a game, I mean, depending on free time, but I play a game for maybe 40 or 50 hours a week. So if it takes me 3 weeks to play a game, that was probably over 100 hours. You know,
yeah, that's
way
true.
Over 100 hours.
I was surprised.
So it took me about 3 weeks to beat EO2.
Oh, wow. It took me 2 weeks. I didn't feel like I was playing that often. And you are more well-versed in the series, so that's a bit surprising. Either way, this game will suck your time. We can agree on that. And you have to be prepared for it. I was warned about, 10 times before I took on reviewing this game. So you should be warned before you pick up this game. Okay, but
it's a good value. So you got to make it sound good. This game is an excellent value.
I suppose.
For $30, it will keep you busy for weeks and weeks.
Yes, it does do that. It gives you a lot of play time for your buck. But if you don't want that much play time, then maybe you aren't getting good value because you want to see the ending sooner. But you won't because you have to get through the terrible fifth stratum.
Man. Yeah, I think in hindsight it would have just stopped at the beginning of the fifth stratum, but
yeah, no, it's true, because the fourth was
then
great.
I wouldn't have been able to review it, so we wouldn't be able to do this. It would have been a horrible cascade effect of terrible events.
Good point. Okay, so I felt, I enjoyed it more than I expected to be honest. I had a lot of fun with it, but you really have to be into that kind of game. You have to, enjoy drawing maps, half the time. You have to enjoy not dealing with cutscenes, really, not dealing with animations, really, not dealing with anything you'd expect from a game coming out the last 5 years.
So you're saying it has absolutely nothing about it is good?
Well, no, it just doesn't have anything about it. It's essentially a text adventure, with some pictures. I said in my review, works to its favor because it's not trying to be anything. It's not, and that lets it focus on the really, old school gameplay. Do you agree?
Yeah, they're smart. I mean, they keep it simple. They keep it clean. I mean, it's a fast moving game, and I love that they add the ability from the first one that you can auto battle, just have all your people fight.
Yeah.
So if there's a reason for a side quest that you're going back to an old stratum or you're fighting enemies that are easy, you can just hit auto battle. Like, games I've played since then, I've tried to do that. Like, right now,
I'm playing
Master of the Monster Lair, and I keep hitting the shoulder button to auto-battle, like, if it's an easy battle. And I'm like, why isn't this working? But, yeah.
No,
after 100 hours of EO2, I expect every game to have auto-battle now. It's ingrained in my finger.
I'm the same way. I was very pleased with that, especially because I'm the kind of guy who will go out to my favorite, restaurant. I'll eat a Panzerotto. I want to play this game with one hand. I'll put the auto-battle on. I'll take a bite out of my Panzerotto. I'll go back to the game. Some people don't like that so much, but I enjoy the DS because I can multitask, okay? Pokemon was perfect. I played with a finger, and I love that game.
I think that's an underrated feature. I think video games you can play with one hand are an excellent thing, because I don't like to stop playing, but I do need to eat at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really strange tangent, but I loved being able, if I can eat and play a game at the same time, then I won't be one of those people in a Korean internet cafes that dies.
Exactly. Bonus points.
They should make games that encourage you to stay alive, and I think Itrian Odyssey 2 is one of those games.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the benefit of not having Chris Perfect here on this podcast, because he hates handheld games. So now we can say how much we love them without being opposed. And
Yeah, they're a good thing.
we love not being opposed, don't we?
You're vastly younger than I am.
Oh,
This is
yes.
an old, PC game throwback to, the early 80s, a first person in a labyrinth turn-based, crawler, the sort of thing that American development moved past decades ago, whereas in Japan this is still a more popular subgenre. I mean, I think there is years between Wizardry 7 and Wizardry 8. I think Wizardry 8 came out in like 2001, 2002, and
See,
I mean it was pretty different, but that type of game is pretty dead in America. So, I mean, was this the first game like this you'd ever played?
To be honest, it was, and that's why I was kind of scared of it, and that's why it has surprised me when I enjoyed it so much, because it really wasn't something I had played. I didn't play any text-based RPGs, I didn't play any tabletop RPGs, I don't really play games on the PC, I'm a strictly console gamer. But the thing is, I do love a lot of the menu digging stuff in RPGs. I do love the grinding and a lot of the tedious aspects. So when it came to really stripped down gameplay like this, where it really came down to just a lot of strategy, or just staying in the stats, it actually felt really at home for me, even though it was the first game of that whatever that I had played. How's that for detail and
Yeah.
articulation?
Well, I mean, it has a reputation for being, rightfully, for being a very esoteric, very niche game that not many people would like to play. But I mean, do you think that this would appeal to a wider audience if a wider audience gave it a chance, if
Now
they weren't frightened away?
that's interesting, because in my case, again, I did like it, but I might be in the minority there.
But you love bubble pop RPGs, like, Skies of Arcadia and Final Fantasy IX. So this
Those
should
games
be
are
something that scared you away, right?
a bit, but again, in those games, I spend half my time in the menus. I'm always double checking my stats. I'm always going back and making sure everything is equipped properly. I have all the special skills. I have all the abilities equipped in FF9, and not everybody's like that. They just go to, equip best, and they keep on going back into the story. And while I love that, I like both sides, and that might be why I embrace this more. So I think this game might surprise some people, but I'm not going to go ahead and say that, if you've never played a game of this sort before and you kind of don't think you would like it, don't rush to go pick it up. It's the perfect wet dream game for you, or it's the perfect, do we have to bleep that? Maybe. Well, anyway, it's a wonderful, wonderful dream of a game, for you if you're into this sort of thing. But I'm not going to say, hey, if you haven't tried it, run out and get it, because it's going to kick your butt, and it is not going to pound you over the head with production value.
You say you thought it was ugly?
Well, no, you know what? It was pretty, but again, there were no cutscenes. And again, I liked that, but some people kind of want that. They want to see these,
Oh, you mean
polygonal.
like you want giant CGI cutscenes, not 2D sprites that are fixed with a look of anguish on their face and it stays there the entire game?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not saying I want that. I'm saying many people might prefer that. Although, again, there's something that's going too far with the FF remakes on the DS. Those seem to be pushing it too much and trying to make it do more than it probably should do for those old school games. But that's a whole another topic.
I like the way Itrian Odyssey 2 handled the plot in that, I mean, plot is such part of defining what makes an RPG for a long time was that it had a plot. It doesn't really work anymore because almost all games have plots by now. But I feel like Japanese RPGs feel this need to push a very linear, very uninteresting, very redundant from other games, stealing from other games, very the same, very cliche plot in every single game. And there's always walls of text, and you have to read
It's
all of them,
true.
and boring, typical characters. So, I mean, I like the fact that this game, I mean, the main quest itself, I mean, it has almost no plot. I mean, there's not really a plot. There's some guy, and he's dying, and he wants you to go to the top of the tree, and there might be an item there to let him
And in
live.
fact, when
And, like, that's kind of the end plot of the game.
well, and when
Like, it's.
the plot really starts to break in the fifth stratum, that's when the plot or the story goes downhill.
Yeah, exactly. The more heavy-handed it was, the more it was kind of like, I liked it better when you were quiet.
I think this is a common misconception. I try and get this across all the time. There is a distinct difference to me between plot and story. I think Etrian Odyssey 2 has great storytelling because you create it yourself. You're in this huge dungeon. There's a mood created. You think to yourself, I wonder what's there, what's my story, what's going on, and you write this for yourself. If there was too much plot, that story would be lost. That goes for a lot of RPGs, even Final Fantasy IX. The plot is cookie cutter, but in my opinion, the storytelling draws you in where you care about the cookie cutter, boring, typical plot.
That's funny. I got into that with the first Etrian Odyssey game. I mean, I had in my mind the characters, their preferences, who didn't get along with whom, and as like silly as it may sound, I did my party construction based like if I had in my head two characters didn't like each other, I wouldn't put them in a party together.
See, that's
And then
great.
if I needed to have them in a party in order to play the end of the game, then I, you know, in my mind I made up that they got along, you know. They eventually got used to each
Yeah,
other,
and that's
you know, or they didn't
excellent.
speak. But I didn't do that much for the sequel. I don't know if I was just in an uncreative mood while I played it, or if it was just I thought the sequel was a lot longer than the first one. I
Right.
don't know if it, like that part of my brain was lazy or tired that day or what, but I didn't do that at all with the sequel. I did.
So that's interesting.
They didn't have characters or anything behind them.
Well, you were talking to me about this before we started recording, and this may play into it. What do you think? Because this is the first Etrian Odyssey game that I played, and I was really into the whole mood and feel. And this is the second you played, and you just described that it kind of was washed out for you. Do you think that was built into the game, or do you think that's a result of the games being practically the same?
I mean, I think it was the result of the games being practically the same. I mean, I liked the first one a lot, and the second one was the same game, the same gameplay with a new dungeon, and I enjoyed it. But I mean, it felt like, you know, you play a 100-hour game, and then they make out an expansion, and then you buy the expansion, and it's another 100 hours. And
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if I had used the same exact characters, I mean, if I had just, you know, given them the same names and the same pictures,
Right.
I might have continued on their story in my mind, but something about starting all over, I think it was a function of the games being so similar. I mean, it was
Yeah.
good, but really, aside from a new dungeon, there wasn't really much difference between the two games.
For sure. So we're gonna have to wrap things up here, but I think essentially what we're saying is if you haven't played the series and you think you might be up for it, we recommend it, but I think you should start with the second one because it tightens up a lot of the gameplay things, and if you start with the first, the second one might just become disappointing to you.
And the second one was a lot more consistent too. The first stratum or two was very simple. And the
Yeah.
second one, they kind of did more the opposite. It was twisty at the beginning, and as it got deeper, it became a lot more straightforward getting through the dungeon. So, I mean,
Yeah.
aside from certain nearly impossible endgame bosses, the final stratum was probably the quickest stratum.
Yeah,
But
no,
yeah,
that's true.
I think more people would like this than they would expect. I think this is a game people should give a chance. Because if it's this or it's, you know, Shining in the Darkness on Wii Virtual Console, and which is fun, but you know, 20 years old and
Yeah.
it looks like it.
So, yeah, definitely give it a try if you feel like you're up for it. So there wasn't a whole lot of sparks or arguing on this first head-to-head, but let us know what you think in the feedback forum link from this podcast on rpgamer.com, or you can also, for the time being, email me at ethos@rpgamer.com. Let us know what you think of the podcast, how you like its short format, its one-on-one format. That should be it. Any last words, Glenn?
I was going to say some poetry like Lucifer, but you kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I've got some poetry planned, but I think I'm going to save it for RPG Cast tonight. All right, that's it. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, me. And we'll
Yes,
see you.
thank you. Thank you, Ethos. This whole ending of the podcast will be just us talking about how much we love each other. Yeah.
It's true. Well, we do. We're both fabulous, and you should read our reviews and keep reading RP Gamer. Look forward to the next podcast, and we'll see you next time. We're out, or we're leaving, or whatever signature we want to use. Bye.
Toodles.